Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome again to Down the Rabbit Hole with Rachel. And obviously, it's more Down the Rabbit Hole with Rachel and Carl. I should definitely introduce Carl, my wonderful, wonderful co-patriot and companion and wonderful, amazing host with me. So, Carl, say hi.
I'm blushing. Hi.
Aw.
Aw,
and tonight on the Is So Cute. And tonight on Down the Rabbit Hole, we're going to be doing a specifically Rachel-centric episode. And I am so sorry, guys, but it's because I love Henry Rollins. And I did just get to go see him live again for the first time that I've seen him live in like 10 years. And it was so beautiful and so wonderful. Carl.
Yeah?
Carl, do you have any feelings about Henry Rollins? Do you know much about him? Are you familiar with him at all? Like, let me know what's up.
I'm familiar with his music. And, of course, Black Flag, which we have a couple songs to play maybe tonight. I also know his acting. I also know his connection to Tony Burgess and Dreamland, because we watched that together, I think.
Yes, we did.
But I do know he's a voice actor. I know some of his writings. He's basically everything that he wants to be, you know? And that's good. But I particularly know the music. So I'll be focusing more on the music than anything else.
And I will be focusing more on the he's particularly everything he wants to be, because not only is Henry Rollins obviously a musician who is also the godfather of like real heavy metal music because of his super heavy grungy punk in the late 70s with Black Flag, but he is also an actor, a stand-up comedian, a spoken word artist, a writer, and a TV personality. Every time he does any one of those things, it's flipping fantastic. And
okay, Rachel, I would suggest getting your bucket out because you're drooling just a little bit. Just letting you know.
I am a little bit, and I'll tell you guys later about the one time I got to actually like meet him in person. But just to give everybody a taste of how he is stand-up wise, comedy wise, and in person, I think, Carl, that we need to start with maybe Henry Rollins versus Iggy Pop. And I do have to I have to give a warning here. It's a 20-minute long segment, but it is worth it. You have to wait until the very last moment, but it's worth it. So this is Iggy Pop versus Henry Rollins, or Henry Rollins versus Iggy Pop. There we go.
Well, you know, it's a boxing match. They're in separate corners, so let's see how it all works out here. Henry Rollins versus Iggy Pop, coming your way.
I
I had the opportunity to play with Iggy Pop a few times over the years, and he's a guy I've always measured myself up against, because to me, he is some ultimate rock and roll shit. And so I always said to myself, if I ever played with him, I'm going to blow his ass off stage, because I love the guy, but I'm going to kick his ass, because, you know, you got to go out there and, like, top the big guy, right? And so in, like, 1992, we're in New Orleans, and we're opening for the Beastie Boys, and Iggy Pop comes down to soundcheck, and he goes, hey, man, I'm here in town doing a record. I go, you want to jam with us tonight? He's like, fuck yeah, man. So later that night, everyone's in there waiting to see the Beastie Boys, and this weird kind of, you know, interruption before the gig, that would be us, goes on. And we are given an hour to do our thing, so 55 minutes, and I go, okay, we have a special guest tonight. And it's a guy, and, you know, I've seen – there's two guys with this guy. There's Jim. Jim Osterwerk. Hey, my name is Jim. Good to meet you, man. How are you? And then there's Iggy Pop. And Jim is cool. Iggy is like this terrifying monster of rock and roll. And so all afternoon, hey, man, I should get back to the studio, okay? So I'll see you guys later on, okay? And he has that kind of, you know, Chuck Yeager right stuff kind of gleam in his eyes. Well, okay, I'll be back later on, and we'll rock, okay? Yeah. He's a good Ypsilanti Michigan boy. And so he leaves, and I'm 55 minutes, and I go, okay, we have a special guest, and, like, you know, 5,000 people, like, we don't even give a fuck. You know? I go, and about to come out on stage is, and I look over on the side of the stage, and Jim Osterberg is nowhere in sight. There is this guy named Iggy Pop, shirtless, built like Bruce Lee. He's, like, 46 years old. He's like, looking through me with the most feral eyes. I'm like, ah! And I go, okay, it's Iggy Pop. And he goes running across the stage, slams into the Beastie Boys keyboard, like takes Money Mark's keyboard out. Wham! And the roadie's like, what the fuck? That was so cool. And he's like, wow, bing, bang, bing, bing, like all over the place. The guys in the band go backwards, and they're up against their amps. It's like, I'm now up on the drum riser. I don't want to get hurt. And I'm trying to keep up with this guy. I'm like, he is beautiful. He is like 40-something. He's now bleeding. He's somehow, he's opened himself up. A minute in, he's bleeding beautifully. Little iron body, blood. You're like, whoa. And so everyone in the crowd's going like, whoa, now this is cool. They all come awake. People are going, he's blowing you off stage, man. Like, shut up, shut up. And I try and keep up with the guy. He thoroughly kicks my ass. And I see him after the show. Hey, man, really appreciate you letting me come on stage with you guys. It was a real honor, okay? It was a real fucking honor, man. It's good to see you again, okay? Well, you tell the fellas I said hello, and I got to go, okay? Well, and he takes off. I'm like, fucking that guy. Okay, if there's ever another time, if I ever play with his ass again, that's it. He's done for. Round two, 1994, Denmark. We do this gig in some, like, hockey rink, and we're opening for Iggy. I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm going to kick your fucking ass. I go out there and play to, like, the nth degree. I come off stage, like, dead. I'm like, top that. Half an hour later, I'm sitting on the side of the stage like that. And the band is on stage, and they start vamping on a song called Down on the Street from the Funhouse record, one of the sexiest, most violent, genius records ever. He's only, like, you know, like 22 when he made it. Fuck. And so the band's like, dun, 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 and there's all these Scandinavian women just like, take me now! You know, you can't resist that song. And so the band, like, for a minute, dun, 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 and it makes you want to fight and fuck all at the same time. And I'm on the side of the stage, and the lights go down, and everyone's like, yeah! And I see he's got this big roadie guy who always goes with him. And I see the guy hold a microphone. He's like this. Iggy Pop comes running down this ramp, grabs the mic like it's a relay baton, and goes out there, ah! And starts singing. And for the next hour and like 30 minutes, he just animalizes. And he's now like 48. You're like, how does he do this? No one remembers us playing.
What are you doing in Denmark?
I played tonight.
You did?
Yes, I was the opening band. I saw you staring at me.
You played? I just remember Iggy Pop.
He just like, Dink. Just, and then the same thing. Hey, man, really an honor to have played with you, man. Man, I'm going to remember this for a long time. You guys were great. Well, so long. He takes off. You're like, fuck. I said, okay, round three is going to be a bitch. Because I'm coming. 1996, we're in band practice in New York working away. The phone rings in the lobby of the practice place. And I go running out there. And he goes, Henry, phone for you. It's my manager. He goes, all right, there's a festival in Finland. I'm like, whoa, I'll do it. I've never been there. I want to go, man. Don't you want to go to Finland? So I said, ooh, I'll go. He goes, well, let me tell you about the festival. I'm like, all right, go ahead. He goes, all right, The Cure is headlining. I'm like, oh, shit. Because I have a weird thing with that Cure guy. I just wonder, what the fuck's the problem? You know, get your hair together. What's the whole, like, not a bad songwriter. Just what's up with the pose? Why did you choose that pose? The overweight, bad hair, you know, weird thing. What's up with that? I'm just curious. So I said, oh, that's interesting. The Cure. That'll be a really happy bunch of people out there. Kill me. So I said, okay, so who's going on before The Cure? And he goes, Iggy Pop. I was like, oh, really? Oh, yeah? And who would be going on before Iggy Pop, he asked expectingly. You guys. War on the Fjords. You're going down, Iguana Man! So I said, we'll take the gig. Go back into the practice room, and I'm totally in war mode. Prepare the set. In 6 weeks, we go to Finland to annihilate. And the guys of the band are like, they're real musicians. They think I'm a jack-off. And they said, Henry, we're trying to write an album, you know, and if we have to get the set together, it means we have to, like, stop what we're doing, even though we have to make a record in, like, you know, 2 months. So how about we not do the festival and work on this record that we really got to do a lot of work on? Like, because they have no idea that I have this whole thing that I've got to annihilate Iggy Pop. You fucking pussies. I go to the gym, you do not come with me. We will do this show, you will get the set together, we will destroy Finland! They're like, oh, I'm so scared. Yes, of course we'll get the set together. Ooh, you might come over and search and destroy us. They're so tired of my ass. And so they said, okay, we'll do the set. And so we get the set together. I go into the most brutal training regime of my life. I'm going into the gym. I'm eating every day on a schedule. I now have a food itinerary. At 2:15 p.m., I will take in 43 grams of lean carbohydrates, 74 grams of lean protein, 2% sugar, 1% fat. I will drink 1.5 liters of unsaturated, unchlorinated water. And then I will destroy the gymnasium at 6:45 p.m. till 7:15 p.m. I will go home and meditate and confront a candle, energizing myself. Then go back to the gymnasium for the next workout. Then I'll flagellate myself and go to bed. I will wake up in the morning, put on a John Coltrane record and meditate. Go back to the gymnasium for the third workout in the next 8 hours. Then I will go to band practice and destroy. At 4:45 p.m. I will have an intake of 4.5 pounds of tofu. Then I will go back to the gymnasium. I will throw people out of my way as I go to the squat rack. I will pray to the squat rack, and then I will squat 455 pounds for the next 20 repetitions. I will vomit, be killed, and then be taken back to my apartment where I will resurrect in the morning and go to band practice promptly at 11 a.m. Read between the lines. I'm really into this, okay? And the weeks go by, I'm on the exercise. Hi, little kid. Come run with me. Watch out for the crackheads. The weeks go by. The set is now a well-honed instrument. I am a rock-hard, honed instrument. My heart rate is like that of a frozen lizard. Like, boom. I could run from here to Indiana and not feel it, because I'm going to play my ass off. And so the day comes. We land Heathrow, we hang out, we go to Helsinki, then we have a 4.5 hour drive up to, you know, this place up in the north where this festival is. And so we go to the gig site, and there's these kind of like trailer Quonset hut things for the backstage dressing rooms, and ours is right next. I'll be seeing him soon. And so we're there hanging out like 2 hours before the gig. Everyone in the band's hanging out, walking around. I am now preparing for the show. And I'm like, you know, banging my head against the wall. I am the wall. I am rock and roll. You know, I'm an asshole. Anyway. And so Iggy and his crew show up, and they come in, hey, guys, how you doing? Really nice people. And, he, you know, Jim walks up to everybody. Hey, Sim, good to see you. Melvin, Chris, Kenny, hey, Henry, how are you, man? I'm like, good to see you, Jim. Keep your distance, okay? Can't be too cool to the guy you're about to annihilate. Good to see you, Jim. Yeah, have a good show today. Right. You have no idea what you've let yourself in for. And so... about an hour before the show, I'm like, okay, finally, we go out there, and we have a 60-minute set. And so I've broken it into three 20-minute segments. 20 minutes, you know, the first 20 minutes, I will be in third gear. Second 20 minutes, I will go into fifth gear. The last 20 minutes, I will go into, like, nitro overdrive due to my intensely punishing training from the 6 weeks before. And so halfway through, I'm, like, I aim for fifth gear. I got to, like, fourth gear. I am dying in front of, like, 15,000 people. Yet I am playing pretty fucking hard. And like, okay, now we're hitting this song. 8 songs into the 12-song set. And now I am playing so hard, I'm standing next to myself. Everything in me hurts because I am 30-something, no longer 20-something. Knees hurt, ass hurts, head hurts. I'm like, I keep playing. And I'm giving it the large one, as they say, sweat flying. And I look over on the side of the stage, Iggy's watching. He's like, whoa. I'm like, and everyone on the field is like, so what? They could give a fuck. And so I get to like the last 10 seconds of the show, and I'm like just, you know, playing like within an inch of my life. I am so dead tired, can't get enough air in me, and about to vomit. I can't even like say good afternoon. I feel like... because I'm trying to make it come off like I'm not tired at all. And like when you're, it's very hard to go, hey, how are you? You know, it's impossible. And so I'm like, thanks for coming. Iggy Pop on next. And my body's going, please let us have some new air. Please breathe. And I know if I breathe, I'm just going to keep breathing. Like I'll be like, so I walk by Iggy like, he looks at me and goes, no, I went like, walked around the corner like, I get back to the little Quonset hut. I'm sitting on this bench.
Iggy
walks by me, looks at me, goes, fucker. Goes into his, I'm like, got your ass! Yes! And so about half an hour later, the band, you know, the band is getting ready to go on. Iggy's nowhere in sight. I go to the stage to see what's going on, and the stage is being, you know, set up for Iggy, backline, rock and roll backline. It's also being set up for The Cure, who's going to go on right after, and it's going to get kind of dark, about as dark as it gets up there in that part of the world that time of the year. And, you know, they have a very elaborate light show, and so you have two road crews on stage. Iggy's setup is really minimal. Guitars, bass, drums, mic, next. You know, it's real simple. The Cure got, like, keyboards. Serious light show. They got a lot of stuff. Extra monitors are kind of on the side of the stage to get moved in when Iggy goes off. And the stage has all these flower pots and planters that will be put on stage when The Cure goes on. They have a thing with tulips. There's beautiful flowers everywhere. And hey, flowers, I got no problem with flowers, you know. And so they're all going to be put on. So when the band goes on, you can see the flowers and all. So anyway, I'm on the side of the stage. Band goes on stage without Iggy. They start vamping on Raw Power. One of the greatest riffs ever. Iggy comes running on stage. Wah! The Fjord goes apeshit. I thought they were all dead when we were out. They're like, and now they're like, yay! They're like, just, you know, bouncing. I'm like, what the fuck? Iggy, bing, bing, bing. Iggy is 50 years old. Bleeding. He sees... his guitar players double stacks, like four Marshalls with Marshall amps. It's about this high. Iggy jumps up like a fucking gazelle. Woof! Lands on top of the amps. Starts humping the amps. And the amps like, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's like these big Viking, huge, blonde-haired, you know, Teutonic, you know, kill your country, rape and pillage-sized guys back there holding this shit for dear life. Like, fucking hell, man. He's like, And if Iggy falls, it would hurt so much. I mean, to land on your hip from that height, oh, my God, just thinking about it. And like, oh, don't fall, don't fall. Oh, if he knocks the amps over and one lands on his head, he's dead. He doesn't give a fuck. He's like, falls off. Everyone goes, oh, like, everyone goes, oh, God. It's like falling on your keys, just thinking about it. You're like, oh, oh, oh. Back up on his feet again. Bing, bing, bing. Everyone's like, how the fuck does he do that? Song after song goes by. Bing, bing, bing. Wah, Rob out. It was like, fucking hell. He's the man. Bleeding. Oh, just bleeding. And like, whoop, 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 everything. No fat on his body whatsoever. Like, enter the dragon, you know? And he goes into Lust for Life, which is a great song, but it's made more popular at the time from the Trainspotting soundtrack. And so the fjord is going nuts. Everyone's going apeshit. Iggy throws the mic down and starts kind of running around the stage like he's a fucking maniac. People are going nuts. There's these footlights at the front of the stage for the Cure. He's like, bam! Lost. Bam! I'm like, oh, shit. You see the Cure's road crew look at Iggy's road crew, going, hey, hey. And they're like, grabs the mic. Hey, man, come on and sing with us. The entire fjord lunges forward. Kids go over the barrier like lemmings. Huge, blonde-haired Viking men valiantly push them back. They go, no, 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 don't come over. No, don't come over. Please stop. Please stop. They're being real. They're not hurting the kids. They're being really cool. Iggy goes, hey, man, it's my fucking show, man. Get out of the way. And they're like, whatever, fine. Kids like, yay! Like, stage is overrun by kids. And I'm like, Iggy gives the mic to some guy. I'm in Lust for Life! I'm in Lust for Life! Guy's like running all over the stage. Which is basically what the song is all about. Iggy, now unencumbered with vocal duties, can go do whatever the hell he wants. First order, ah, a flower pot. Bam! Another flower pot. Bam! Ooh, a planter full of flowers. Bam! Now what do you think all the kids do? Oh, you shouldn't destroy all that stuff. It's for the Cure. Said they go like, life into ill! Wahoo! People are passing the mic around singing. The band is like behind their gear now. They're just like out of the way. Just dun 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 dun. We're like in the seventh minute. The stage is covered with stampeded flowers, peat moss, and clay pottery in shards. Iggy is covered with peat moss, sweat, and blood. His eyes are wild. He is bleeding out of the corner of his mouth like a John Wayne movie. They eventually clear the stage of kids. He gets the mic back. They go into the next, like, eight songs. It is amazing. He gets to the last song. Band leaves. He's alone on stage with just him and the audience. It's kind of dark outside. It kind of looks like the evening. Not dark, dark, but dark enough. Lights are on him. Sweating. Bloody. Just built like a brick shit house. Just incredible. 50. Takes the mic. He's just like, ah! And we're like, what the fuck is he doing? Grabs the guitar player's guitar, which is still on, feeding back like, it was one of the most brilliant things I have ever seen in my life. 15,000 people are like, whoa, whoa. You know, and then he takes the guitar. Takes the mic. Bam! Thing just breaks. The PA blows out. And he goes, plays those. Huge roar. Walks by me, sweating, bleeding, like out of the corner of his mouth. Walks by me, goes, hey. Fuck. And you realize you're never going to beat the master.
That's good. That's
okay,
good.
So I am so sorry to make everybody listen to the whole 20 minutes of that, but you have to listen to the whole 20 minutes of it to get to the... And it's exponentially more hilarious if you watch what he's doing during it. Because, yeah, like, he acts everything out, and it is hilarious.
Well, he you know, he reminds me, that whole routine reminds me of Spalding Gray. Spalding Gray was a monologist who did a film, Swimming to Cambodia. He wouldn't act it out so much, but the story, which is so, you know, integral and have so many points to it, it's very much, he's more of a monologist than he is a comedian, as far as I'm concerned. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Like, in fact, I consider Henry Rollins more of a monologist / spoken word artist than I do a stand-up comedian.
Agreed.
Because if you don't know, he doesn't actually do, like, comedy sets. He does spoken word sets. And they're usually pretty hilarious.
Yeah, they are. They are. I mean, that's really good. That's really, and the thing is, you have to know Iggy Pop. If you don't know Iggy Pop, you don't really get the joke or what he's talking about. Because Iggy Pop is, oh, my God. He's been doing this, you know, he's saying he's 50s in the 90s. He's now well into his 70s. He's still doing it like that. He's like Keith Richards. He's never going to fucking die.
Oh, absolutely. But the difference is Keith Richards is preserved by drugs. I think Iggy Pop is probably preserved by his, like, insanity.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I'm not a huge Iggy Pop fan. The music... You know, when you get into Iggy Pop and then you get into the real hardcore punk, which is where Rollins came from, I tended to be more, you know, English, not so much Sex Pistols, but sort of post-punk, or people that started punk and then went post-punk, like Joe Jackson and such. But Henry Rollins music is just – the thing I really like about Black Flag is that – there was a lot of garage rock in it. There was a bunch of other things than just screaming into a microphone, right?
Right. And I really feel like that's, like, the point of this kind of music, more than just screaming into a microphone. I mean, he was completely calm through the whole, you know, thing that he just did with the stand-up.
Right.
But it was... really hilarious, really angry. And that's what I love about Henry Rollins, is he appeals to that part of a lot of us that is angry about the world and doesn't know what to do about it.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to my generation. Yeah, we're the same way. That's why we started punk.
Well, then I think if that's what you're going to say, you need to back it up, Carl.
We're going to do a Black Flag. We're going to do Nervous Breakdown, which I love.
Ooh,
so here we go. Nervous Breakdown. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. My head really hurts. Need I say more? Seriously.
You need not say a thing.
Yeah, that's punk, okay? So you can imagine if they're doing that out on stage and Iggy Pop just blows them away, you can imagine what Iggy Pop is like.
Yeah, and that's not even one of Black Flag's or Rollins Band's most punky, metal-y songs. So, yeah, if you can just imagine that, but even harder.
Yeah.
That's what Henry Rollins was trying to say. Like, I was trying really hard to fuck with this dude. I can't fuck with this dude.
Exactly.
Ain't gonna happen.
Bow down to the master. He even says that in the routine.
Okay, well, I think that right now, since we're doing this, we need to keep continuing on the songs and or, well, really just his music. Done some spoken word, and we'll get more back into that later. But I personally, anybody who has listened to the show ever before knows that I personally love the cello. And I also love the AV Club Underground. Beautiful thing. Check it out on YouTube when you can. They're amazing. But a wonderful cellist was part of the AV Undercover thing, and he was unfortunately, or fortunately for all of us, the last person who got to pick from the list of songs for the season. So he was stuck with Henry Rollins' Low Self-Opinion. But I think that this is probably the best cover of a song I've ever heard in my life.
And here we go. Low Self-Opinion by Ben Sully.
Deeper inside. see when I see you see me. You see yourself so differently. If I could see the you that you see when I see you see me. You see yourself so differently. If you could see the you that I see when I see you see me. You see yourself so differently.
Nice.
I like that.
How is that not fucking beautiful? And I'll be honest, when you listen to the Rollins version of it, really get that feeling from it. But that feeling was there. Because
mm-hmm.
that dude is, like, so fucking emotional. Jesus Christ. So fucking emotional.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He's just done so much. I mean, I'm taking a look at his Wikipedia, you know. I mean, just to give everyone an idea, he was in a band before Black Flag called State of Alert. Then Black Flag, which was 1981 to 1986. Then the Rollins
yeah.
band, which toured until 2003. He did solo releases. He started his own record label for his spoken word releases. And, of course, his musical style, you know, began in punk. And he still has that punk attitude, but his musical style has changed, too. And let's not forget
oh,
he's
absolutely.
A producer. Yeah. He actually produced an album of acoustic songs for Charles Manson called Completion. But the project was canceled. Yeah. Yeah. Only 5 test presses of Completion were pressed, 2 of which remain in Rollins' possessions. And he's also produced the rock band Mark of Cain's 3rd full-length album. So this guy has done everything. Seriously.
I mean, he has spoken word, writing, comedy, thing, just like every fucking thing. And I mean, I kind of want to talk about some of his acting right now. We'll get back to his music and stuff. But I remember seeing him for the first time, like, really, really seeing and recognizing him when he was in The New Guy.
Right.
And he was the, you know, really, you know, over-muscly, angry, I guess, warden of the prison or whatever. And it was so funny because I had seen him do stuff like that before, but most people just knew him from like Black Flag and Rollins band.
Right.
And when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, this guy is hilarious. This is funny. And that's when I fell in love with his acting career and then started looking more into him and found out about his stand-up and stuff. And yeah, if you can find it somewhere online or buy whatever DVD it's on, his Ty Love House stand-up is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Beyond just him and Birch's Iggy Pop. Ty Love House is great, but I can't find that one right now, so sorry, guys. But still, he's so much more versatile than what most people seem to think that he is.
Well, just going on his acting career, so you know, I mean, I didn't realize it at the time. I was looking today. He was in Johnny Mnemonic. He was in Heat. He had small roles in all of these. Lost Highway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, seriously. Now, you know, not everything that Henry Rollins has picked as far as a film is good. There's one called Suck, which is just horrible. But he was in Jack Frost too, which is not a really good movie either. But the thing is, where I really start to get to know him is again with The New Guy. I agree with you on that. But Feast. If you haven't seen Feast, go see Feast. Seriously, he's really good in that. He has a good supporting role in that. He's in Wrong Turn 2, which I've seen. And again, I start to know his face, but I didn't really know who he was, right? But then, the real one that got him over the top as far as the acting is Sons of Anarchy, second season. He played character A.J. Weston for 10 episodes, and he was really good in that.
I've never seen that show.
He was really good in that.
Cannot agree or disagree with you on that one, but I'm considering watching it. I'm considering because it's got my big-headed motherfucker Ron Perlman in it. So
yes, exactly. And let's not forget he's done a lot of voice work too, which you just love.
Yes, I do.
You know, he's done Adventure Time. He's done The Legend of Korra and a bunch of other stuff, too. But one of the things that you and I connected with, because we watched it, is one of his most recent films, which he connected with another one of our wonderful guests that we got through John Killian, and that's Tony Burgess. And he is just fantastic in Dreamland. He plays the bad guy, and he's just wonderful. In that.
Absolutely.
So much fun. And it's such a weird fucking movie. You know, and this is the thing about him. He doesn't pick the normal stuff. You know, and let's not forget Dreamland. We've got to give a shout out to our boy, Stephen McHattie, too. But he does some really interesting choices throughout his career. I mean, you and I were talking about this, and I thought we'd bring this up, that to me, he really doesn't want stardom. He could and talk about that a little bit, what you think about that statement and that.
Well, I mean, I 100% agree with you there in that Rollins doesn't want stardom because he could totally have it. I've been to two of his spoken word shows in the past number of years, and frankly they were more than fully booked. We were lucky to even get in when we did. So it was just one of those things like, why is he coming to these small places like Arkansas? Like Little Rock, Arkansas. What the fuck is he doing right now? And he even told us last week when he was here. It's like, look, you guys really fucking appreciate me being here, and you got some good food, so keep coming back. And I love that.
Yeah. He intrigues me because he's done so much, you know, various things. You know, I love musicians who do different styles. He's not only done different styles, he's branched out and become a whole different person in his writing, and I mean, he does essays for like the New Republic, and for the New Yorker. Amazing what he's done over the years. Seriously. Are you there? Rachel? Rachel?
I'm here. Yes, yes. I think I was in the wrong part of the house. I may have lost signal for a sec. I'm sorry, guys. But yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, he has done a lot with his, not only his music, but his writing and everything else like that. He's got his own publishing company now.
Yeah. Yeah. He really intrigues me in terms of that. So where do we want to go now? What do you want to talk about Henry Rollins?
Well, you tell me. Like, I'm the one that knows about Henry Rollins, so tell me what you want to talk about.
Well, at this point, you know a lot more about me. Why don't we do a song? Do you want to do Slip
It
In and talk about why you like it? That particular tune, do you want to give us a little bit of a preview of it?
Yes. There is one of my favorite disses ever in this song. And just listen to all of the lyrics because they're pretty cutting, pretty biting. But the best thing I've ever heard was him saying, "You're not loose, you're wide open."
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
Oh,
Slip It
yeah.
In by Black Flag.
Hey, Mama. Come on, come on.
I don't know.
You're flipping on me.
Happened. Yes, it did. That's really something to say the least. Good Lord. That particular song shows where the thrash guitar came in and how you say that he was the predecessor of real metal and that. You would agree with that?
Henry Rollins is one of the people that is legitimately considered to be one of the godfathers of metal, because he was doing that kind of crazy punk-ass shit in the 70s and stuff with Black Flag and his earlier band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very apparent on that particular cut, to say the least.
Oh, absolutely.
So good. We got one there that shows, you know, that type of music. You know, I tend to like the, you know, we were talking about it. The Black Flag, one of the reasons I like Black Flag is because there was more garage rock in it, and it was seemed to be cleaner. We were talking about that earlier today. Do you want to expound on that?
No, actually, I want you to.
Oh, okay. I could do that. That's not a problem. So, for me, you know, I had a pretty much a classical background in music and such, and so I was looking for things that were more polished. And when we were doing the radio in my college days and so on and so forth, we had one guy in particular that was really into the early punk. And this is a little before Black Flag. To me, it wasn't just noise, but it was just anger, right? But with Black Flag, you understand the lyrics more. There's, you know, like in that particular tune we just listened to, there are stops and everything, so there's silence. And they're using more intricate language, musical language in their stuff that other bands of their type did not. And so I really appreciated that.
Absolutely.
Good band. So I think one of the things that we haven't really touched on is you being at the concert. So talk to us about being there and how it felt.
It wasn't a concert. It was a spoken word show.
Still, that's a spoken word concert. You had people there, you know.
So maybe we could say like a spoken word stand-up thing, because obviously when he's standing in front of a group of people, Henry Rollins does not hold back, and he is fucking hilarious about it. You know, about 10, almost 12 years ago, I went to my first ever Henry Rollins show. And I actually got to meet him, Carl.
Nice.
I think I've told you this story.
Yeah, you did. But tell our listeners.
Okay, so I have been in love with Henry Rollins since I was in, like, junior high school. Love the dude. Love him. So I got a very rare opportunity, and it was actually on my birthday, to go see my first ever Henry Rollins show. And I was so excited. I brought my book with me. And I had a work event I had to go to right before that. And anyway, it was a few blocks down the road. So after the work event, we went to the Rollins show. But we got there like 2 hours early. Paul made friends with the security guards. And I was like, oh, man, the only thing I want to do ever in my life is get this book signed. And they were like, hey, you're a real cool lady. I'm going to tell you something. You can't tell nobody else. He's green room and down on the side of this building over here. And I literally ran down a wooden plank ramp in 6-inch heels, assholes to elbows, to go find him on the other side of the building. And I had my, like, one genuine fangirl moment where I couldn't even speak. I just, like, he was there, and he was legitimately, when he tells you he's, like, banging his head on the wall and shit like he was talking about, he actually does that.
Nice.
Yeah, he was hardcore pacing, hardcore. breathing and just, like, punching the brick wall and shit. And a really fancy work event. So I had a real nice, you know, vest and tie and shirt and skirt and, you know, 6-inch heels and everything on. And I run down there and skid to a stop in front of him. And all I can say is, oh my God, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then I just shove my book at him. And he stops in the middle of everything and kind of grunts at me and goes, oh, okay, here. And he just signs my book, like, scribbles in it really quick, throws it back into my chest, and I'm like, oh my God, thank you. And then I immediately, like, again, book it. Assholes to elbows in 6-inch platform stilettos, back up the wooden plank walkway club to see his show.
Nice.
And I do have to say that we'll get into it later, but I did end up at the very end of that show getting kicked out of it for being too loud.
Oh.
So, yeah. I got kicked out of a Henry Rollins show for being too loud.
And I should point out that for our listeners, Rachel, you're not exactly a big girl. You're a tiny little thing.
Oh yeah, I'm a tiny person. For 100%, I'm a tiny person.
Just imagine, he's too loud for a Henry Rollins stand-up, whatever you want to call it. Seriously.
Well, I say that I got kicked out of a Henry Rollins show for being too loud, but I do have to extrapolate and say that I got kicked out of a Henry Rollins show for being too loud, but it was a spoken word show. And I will also, before we go to the next topic, which we're about to do, say that the person who reported us for being too loud at the show, it was a recorded show. The person who reported us for being too loud at the show, you can actually hear him complaining about us on the recording of the show. You cannot hear us being too loud.
There you go. I still find that really funny, though.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I find that hysterical. So where do you want to go now? We haven't really talked about his writing of...
Well, his writing is so beautiful that I actually used one of his pieces as my wedding vows for my first wedding. Yeah. Yeah. But most of his writing consists of his journals and stuff from the road. So it's a lot of really insane. Have you read any of his writings, Carl?
No, I have not. I mean, I've read a couple of his political things in like the New Yorker and such, but not what you're talking about. Now, you told me you actually had a book of his writing with you.
Well, I have a number of his books, but this one, let me see if it's right here. I need to find it and grab it. You know what? How about you talk for a second, Carl, and I'm going to find this online.
Okay, fair enough. So what I know about Henry Rollins, as I said, is not too much. But we do have another song, which I do like very, very much from Black Flag, and we'll play that right now, okay? And we're going to do that as soon as I get over here. And, of course, my computer went black, so that happens occasionally. So what we're going to do is we're going to do Rise Above by Black Flag. Here we go.
Rise above, we're gonna rise above. Make this market, make this sell.
one of my favorite Black Flag songs. Definitely love that song.
Absolutely.
So you're back. Do you have the book?
I don't have the book, but I have most of the poem.
Okay, cool.
I don't have the very, very beginning of it because usually this book is like right here on my desk and it's not right now and I'm a little pissed off about it. But I would like, if I could, to read to you some of Henry Rollins' writings.
Please. Please do.
Okay. Well, I'm going to step into this next room over here because I have three giant doggies trying to add themselves to the show.
Hi, doggies. So you with us? Rachel? Well, Rachel seems to have disappeared for a moment.
No, I'm here.
Didn't hear you.
Okay. Well, I've been here. I just checked and I wasn't off of my phone or anything.
Well, you're here now, so go ahead and give us a little bit of his writing. Rachel? Ah, Rachel has been raptured. That's what the problem is. She has this ability. It used to be me that was raptured all the time when I was with Stephen Ronquillo. But she seems to have been raptured. I'm going to try to get in touch with her. Otherwise, we'll have to finish this another time, just a moment. While we're here, I can go into a little bit of housekeeping. Let's do that, okay? So tomorrow we have Keenan Walker on with us. Keenan is the Duckmaster at the Peabody Hotel in Memphis. He also just he's starring in a new movie that premiered on Stars called Jukin. He also was on he's got a number of other things going on. He's friends with David Arquette. Also, we got Rachel back, by the way. We've got, he was also on to tell the truth. And so there's that going on. Also, we've got a couple other things going on. On Thursday, there will be no show, but I will be having a private meet and greet with Lloyd Kaufman at Troma Entertainment in Long Island City here in the city. So that's going to happen. And then on the 7th, we're doing our Mother's Day show down the rabbit hole with Rachel and TC, and all of us will have our mother songs ready to go. And then on Sunday, TC and Rock This Town is going to be doing the acoustic show, six strings of acoustic versions of very famous songs that are even better than the radio version. So that's what we've got coming on. You back with us, Rachel?
I am indeed, and I'm so glad that everybody stayed with us through all that bullshit. I'm so sorry. Got a dumb phone.
It happens. So why don't you pick a couple of nice things to end up the show with, writings of Henry Rollins. Go ahead, my dear.
Well, no, I was going to say, I think we're good. We did our housekeeping and stuff, so if anybody's interested in Henry Rollins further, please contact us on Deviant Legion or, you know, Carl Kafer, Rachel Lane, any number of us, and let us know, and we'll tell you all the things.
Absolutely. So I take it we're going to call this a night, and we want to thank everyone. Well, that's your job, so you go ahead and do that, my dear. I'm sorry.
Well, no, you're fine. You were doing a great job, so I guess... Thanks, everybody, and I hope.
And everyone have a good night, all right? So we're all going to say good night. Good night.